All right, this is the Cadenae Mo Show. We're going to be here until 8 p.m. And thank you, Drew Agarabo and the John Sidney for the fantastic lead-in. All right, that intro is done. You know what I'm saying, Sidney?
I absolutely do. I really do. Thanks for having me.
And I am going to expedite it because I know we don't have you for long. Who we do have for the entirety of the ride is one Patrick's. Where am I still hearing that? Oh, there we are. All right, Patrick Smith from The Patrick Smith Show. Heard when? Where?
Saturday morning.
Yeah, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Here on the bone.
Yes, absolutely. Mo Great. And I try and, you know, every now and again, I'll give you a text and say, hey, what's going on? I love this bit. Or, you know, not bit. You don't do bits, but you're funny. It's funny.
Well, you're kind. And we try to make it entertaining for a legal call-in show. And tomorrow's no exception. We're going to tackle the new Supreme Court ruling on Trump and the Colorado ballot.
Oh, that's juicy.
We're going to get into that constitutional side and try to stay away from the politics as best we can.
Can you get into the fact that in our Florida legislature had to draft a bill allowing you to shoot a bear in self-defense? I mean, do we really need a bill that says it's okay to shoot a bear if you're getting mauled by one?
Yeah, you just got to figure that one out on your own, right? That's just called Darwinism.
So, I mean, is there somebody that's going to go, oh, man, I'm pretty sure you can't shoot a bear?
I hate to be that guy, but I think bears in the Central Florida area are so bad that you need a bill that says you can shoot them if they come after you. Like, you're just, you know, you clearly have never lived that bear life. You don't live in a neighborhood.
I concur with what
What do you concur how, Spike?
I'm a big bear guy. I keep up on the bear news. I can tell you there's bears just rolling into people's yards in Central Florida all the time. They'll come after your dogs. They'll come after your grandma. And you want to make sure the law is there to support your right to shoot that damn bear if you need to.
Well, the Winnie the Pooh lobbyists are very strong in this state. So that legislation said right there.
I promise you, if a bear's coming after me and or my grandma, my nana, I'm not going to even think about whether there's a law that allows me to shoot it or not. It's getting one to the face.
That's the one thing I never understood about Bigfoot. All these guys who claim Bigfoot. Why did you just shoot the, and did you hear Galvin's open letter?
No.
This week he did it about ghost hunters, but he also got on Bigfoots. And the people hunting Bigfoot, he's like, after two seasons, if you haven't found Bigfoot, and I'm paraphrasing, you're not finding Bigfoot anymore.
This is a Bigfoot
man. And the thing,
we have that in common, too.
The thing is, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but the belief is that the Sasquatch species, like, we're not talking about one Bigfoot, one creature. We're talking about a very, elevated species that understands humans and is living their life with the main goal of avoiding humans.
Okay, but how elevated are they if they're running around with no clothes?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's a weird thing to bring up. Like, out of all the things that you could bring up about Bigfoot, why haven't they created clothes?
How many deer you seen with pants on?
They're covered in fur. They don't need clothes.
But we would never say about a deer that they were an elevated creature. When you put the word elevated is a very specific word.
No, it is, because I think that is, if you buy into it and you believe it, you have to understand, and the way that I've heard it explained was take a general high school of children and release them into the entire United States of America or the world and say the only thing you have to do is avoid human interaction. That doesn't seem that far-fetched, and imagine that their brains were more elevated than the average human.
All right, now take that same gaggle of kids and only one of them shows up without clothes on. Are we saying that's the
they're
brain
elevated
trust?
That's the elevated guy. I mean,
are we pointing him out as the brain trust?
I don't. Why would I, if I'm a Bigfoot living in the woods, never to be seen by a human, why would I create clothing? I'm covered in hair.
Can they teletransport?
I mean, that is... There's an element to the Sasquatch community that believes that there's some sort of interdimensional travel.
The fringe group.
I like thinking of them more of a legitimate biological species rather than some sort of alien.
This is what I would tell you. As far as mythological creatures go, Bigfoot can't hold a candle to Nessie. If you want to talk about somebody that has really captured the imagination.
The soccer guy?
Yes,
what are you talking about?
Loch Ness Monster.
No, I know what you're talking about, but how do you say that's one place on Earth you can go and see Nessie?
But to his point, Nessie also naked.
Yes. Well, but I would never call Nessie elevated, except for the neck.
Well.
Well, see,
fair enough.
Yeah, and I mean, that's blasphemy. You're just wrong to compare one singular being in a lake somewhere to an entire species of you know, bipedal hominid is offensive.
But I love how you recognize there's the spectrum. We have Yeti, we have skunk ape, we have Bigfoot.
Yeah,
there is many beautiful angles.
Yeah,
to what we know as Bigfoot.
Kind. I would say, as far as being able to hide and elude capture and or discovery, being in one body of water is exponentially harder than having the free world.
Well, and that's why personally I don't really believe in Nessie.
Well, no, you can't have it.
I mean, I'm just saying. Well, yeah, you can actually. You know, the two are not mutually exclusive.
Where are you at on the abominable snowman? Now, he's a guy I'd like to have a conversation with.
That would be the Yeti.
Yeah, that would be Yeti. That would essentially be, you know, the Bigfoot of the Alps and of certain, you know, portions of like Siberia. I mean, man, if you want to do
this, you asked.
Well, I was saying, we really hit a nerve.
Yeah, you did. This is like, there's a couple things I'm passionate about in this life, and one of them is Bigfoot.
One of the others bourbon.
It really, really right, is the double B's.
Can we crack open some Patrick Smith, who is not only a top flight attorney, but also a bourbon enthusiast, and which that's why I love him. Has brought in five bottles.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we did five last time. Yeah, I figure I'd keep it consistent.
And so. We're gonna take just a little bit of sip. We want everybody to be careful out there.
Amen.
It's a heavy weekend for being. You need, not that if it's not a heavy weekend, you should be out there driving inebriated. But you know, you got the reggae rise.
That's not this weekend.
That's next weekend. But they start camping out a week early because you know a lot of the potheads can't remember what weekend it is and they'll be driving around.
Agenda here today, don't you?
They'll be driving around going, where the music at?
Is it weird that I'm still thinking about, do I feel smarter when I get naked to go in the shower?
Yeah.
Do I feel elevated when I take my clothes off?
Like, I'm just
got
saying.
Me still chasing that.
No.
Let me tell you who's not elevated. Mr. Microphone off.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, why can't I hear myself?
I was wondering how long he was going to have to go before he realized. Like,
the thing is, I turned it on, and there's a light that indicates it's on.
Yeah,
and to start talking, he turned it off.
I'm sorry if I missed the part the other night. Spike, are you soliciting others for your how are you sticking? Are you now taking mail-in suggestions?
Yeah, right. So when we ask you, Mr. Sinning, how you sticking, your response would be?
I'm sticking like a couple clammy butt cheeks after you know, a night out on the dance floor.
He like it.
Don't take it, Spike.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't ready for that.
It's a nice one.
All right.
I mean, I don't want to be the one.
That bottle's not going to open itself, Pat.
No, I understand. So we're going to let Mr. Sinning make the first pick, and I think you picked the Old Forest bourbon.
I feel very wrong doing that because I know it's at the other end of the spectrum, but if you did ask me repeatedly to pick, so the Old Forest would be a real
one. Is that unopened? Freshly? Are you breaking the seal?
I'm breaking the seal.
How you asking me?
We're breaking the seal on hold of the bottle.
No. I'm saying all of these bottles are unopened.
Stag.
Oh, I thought maybe them. You know, some he done sucked out of.
Yeah.
No, I've actually never tasted this one.
Oh, you? But you've had Old Forester.
I've had Old Forester, but not the birthday.
How can you sleep at night knowing this man opened up another bottle of ketchup when there's other ketchup bottles still?
All I keep saying is I'm just glad to be here, and I really mean it. I said 10 times I didn't feel comfortable picking.
Now Patrick has not had Old Forest the birthday edition either.
No, but
nor have I.
It's supposed to taste a little bit like a birthday cake.
Well, we're gonna find out.
You're a bad man.
Thank you, Spike. I appreciate that.
He basically walked into ABC and said, "Open up this, and this, and let me taste."
Now, Patrick, did I tell you to bring any bottle that you have out there?
No. Not at all.
And the other thing is, Mike, man, that's a nice pour. I thought he was just bringing one bottle. And I certainly wasn't expecting that bottle. Well,
where'd you put in your car?
That bottle right there. I'm saying 13, but that might be 2K on the secondary.
It depends. It fluctuates anywhere in that 13, 15, 2K range for a bottle of this. The hard thing is, even if you can get the opportunity to pay that for it, you just can't find them.
Right.
My source was very kind.
It's different.
The term unicorn bottle gets thrown out sometimes a tad too much, but that is a true unicorn.
Yeah,
a true unicorn bottle,
absolutely.
Right there.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Oh no! Can a brother get the aroma up in the nostrils and the nose?
It does have a nice nose.
It really does.
It really does.
because,
God, if I was a girl, I wouldn't like none of y'all.
That is smooth.
That is wow. That is very smooth.
Oh wow!
And what's the proof on that is one in the
96.
Okay.
So that is our lowest, and we're only climbing the ladder from here. So for that reason, it was a great pick.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the fact that my wife has to deal with me.
She's twiddling her thumbs right now. She M-A-D. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's mad.
For a bourbon under 100 proof, that's got a little bit of kick on the back end.
Right. It's sort of the inverse relationship, like Stag being as high in proof, but it's so smooth.
Yes, yes.
This has a little more heat at a lower proof.
It does. It does heat. It does have
and that. But the heat here really brings out the flavor. Like you really taste the notes of the, there's like notes of bubble gum in it, and you can really feel that in the body of it.
Yeah, I've heard people describe the feeling of like chewy almost, where it's almost like you got the remnants of a caramel chew in your mouth. It feels so thick in your mouth. It's got that.
And it's a shame you have to leave because the Michter's is known for its creaminess.
wait to stick that
No, that palate of yours is spot on because that one is chewy. The Michter's 10, which we have here, is actually known for its creaminess. So you could juxtapose the two. Why, if you could say, but I'm saying you can't.
I'm going to paraphrase you, John Sinning. Why chew when you can cream?
You know what I'm saying, Mike?
I don't. Because when he said it's chewy, I'm like, it's like eating old milkshake.
What's the fanciest thing you like,
Spike? Miller Lite.
In the whole world, like not even beverages. Like if there's something that you just, when you have it, you like it to be nice.
Yeah. When I have it, you know, what's the thing called Indiana Jones was chasing the Golden Temple? Is a
Corvette. Yeah, chasing the Golden Temple. Of the Covenant.
That's what I want. If I can get a vet, then that I have succeeded. I have made it to the life, but that's the only thing that I think that I have that I'm chasing as far as
what's the year of the truck you're riding in right now?
08.
'05. Oh, you're almost there. How old are you? 60? 61? 62? And your dream is to go from an 08 to a Corvette?
It used to be I wanted a jet ski, a Jeep, and a vet. I'm getting too old to get in and out of a vet.
There's still hope for you.
I'm getting too old to get up and out of a vet.
Jet ski, are you a water jet person?
I used to hang out with them. Jet skis were pretty cool.
All right.
So I got the Jeep and the jet ski. I'm done with that now.
I'm gonna push you a little bit. I'm glad you opened this line of questioning. Thank you so much.
Wait a minute.
So the most expensive piece of baseball equipment that you own.
Ooh.
Because I have a guess for what it's going to be.
I have a autograph signed, I think it's Barry Bonds baseball. I don't know what the price of it is.
Okay, I was talking more about your playing equipment, but I agree, that's pricey.
Oh, something that I own?
Something that you have in your bag.
Dude, listen, I play in the men's wood bat league. If somebody cracks a bat, I go into the trash and I'd say...
you're making my point.
On this,
this is exactly what I thought you were going to say. You got the duct tape on your spikes.
Preach.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Preach.
You know. Nothing wrong with that, man. It's Sunday Rec League.
It's the Indian, not the arrow. Remember that.
It's the what?
Indian.
Not the arrow?
Arrow. Yeah, you know, it's the man, not the method. I don't know.
It's not the size of the boat, but the motion of the ocean.
I'd say it's the arrow, not the Indian.
The arrow. No, it's the, I don't know. What are you talking about, an arrow in a boat?
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for following so closely, Spike.
So anyway, yeah. But listen.
Mo checked out on his own damn show.
He's over here texting. I checked out my boy Andrew Norton, who's also a bourbon cat. He's like, what am I missing? I just got into the car. I sent him a photo of what we're sipping on.
I have nothing negative to say about this.
This Old Forester birthday edition is phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Some people will think me sacrilegious for saying this, but I put this right up there with the Pappy.
I mean, having only had a couple, thanks to you, of the super high-level stuff, it's absolutely
I might actually put this over the Pappy.
Yeah. And I can see why you would. I don't blame you. I'm not mad at that. But I just have such a special place in my heart for Pappy. I don't know I can put anything above that. But one day if I run into Double Eagle, I mean, I may have to change my mind about that.
This is dangerous because it is so easily
sippable.
As evidenced by the fact that John Sinning's glass is empty.
Already. Good for you, man.
I've been looking forward to the weekend. I told Mo earlier. I was ready to get right.
What that tells me is you got time for one more point.
Yeah, I do.
Does your girl drink?
Yes.
So would she be impressed?
Is she a bourbon
drink? No.
What's Tito's? She from the streets, huh?
Tito's. Yep.
Tito's is great.
Nothing wrong with
you. Your woman, she
is a tequila. You actually got her tequila. She says thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful
Añejo. So is it like elevated tequila or she has a go-to?
Buddy, I appreciate you think I know. As much as I know about bourbon, I am ignorant on tequila.
Because I drink, like, I like sipping bourbon, but if I'm out having cocktails, I drink mostly tequila. And soda.
And I'm only saying this to give him an example because if she loves it, the bottle I gave her in the box, that's a Buck 50. So it's elevated.
Yeah. And she one of the sexiest things about my wife is she will sip her tequila like just the tequila.
You don't want to sip a tequila that's under $80. I don't think.
Yeah, she loves that tequila and like that. I think I sent you a picture. I'm like, she's pouring a glass now.
Oh, see. Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. Nice. So, I mean, yeah.
Enjoy.
You know, she enjoys it, but I love like just her sipping a straight tequila on the rocks. Like,
yeah.
That's just, I think it's super sexy on a woman. So,
is tequila that thing that had the worm at the bottom? And, you know, people drink it and
Yeah. I don't want my voice on this audio.
Spike, I still love you, Spike. I still love you.
I don't think as an attorney you want your voice on this audio.
What is that drink that had the worm in the bottom?
The answer is yes.
Now, mezcal has the worm, typically.
It's a form of
tequila, but it's...
No, I'm talking about it's the Mexican drink that everybody drinks and it's a worm at the bottom, let you know it's real.
That's a variation of tequila.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
I definitely don't know Andre.
A margarita alcohol is tequila.
This joke is wasting good air on me. I don't know. Listen, I want to know which one had the worm.
Can I ask you something? When has that not been the case? Mm.
With what?
Wasting good air.
I mean, that's essentially the secret sauce of the show.
Yeah, what are you saying?
We wasted good Pappy with you the last show. Yeah. I was like, he waits and doesn't drink a single bourbon the entire 2 hours. We get to Pappy and he's like, yeah, pour me some. Like,
I did?
Yeah.
He ain't that stupid.
You took a sip of it and then I think we gave the rest to Sitting.
I don't think you were impressed.
All right, buddy, you want to...
I feel like now dealer's choice. Whatever you
open
feel
up
like.
The ketchup, and I would open up all of them.
I feel like Mo. You want to?
Yeah. I would say since he has had the stag.
Yeah, we skipped the stag.
And we're on the low end of the proof. Let's go to the high end of the proof. I don't believe you've had it. I know I have not. Oh. And so Sinning has not. Let's do that E.H. Taylor.
I'm so excited about this.
Let's do that barrel proof.
Now, this one is 131.1 proof. So you're going to the other end of the
stack. Yeah, boy. Strap in, kids. Strap in. It's about to get bumpy. I'm going to put that right.
All right. I think I'm going to.
Danielle, I'm going
to get it. I need to ride.
Come get me.
Let's get another five.
Spike, I have another question for
you.
Please,
come on.
Have you ever done any drugs in your life?
Don't lie, Spike. Do not lie.
I have smoked weed before.
That's it? No, nothing weird? You strike me as a guy that could have had like a coke phase when you were younger.
No, I'm scared of that because...
Did you notice how I said the weed?
That's how long ago it was. When they used to refer to it as the weed.
I used to hold it with the fingers and the little clip thing.
That's called... Yeah.
You'd be smoking a roach at that point. Mm,
but I was always afraid of when... Because I've seen people snort it and stick it in the arm... I can't
well,
figure
it's heroin
out.
When you're sticking it in your arm.
I can't figure that
just
out.
Just weed.
That's all I've done. Yes. I've never put... Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Pull back. Uh-oh. I may have had a gummy one time. That's still the weed, though, right?
Yeah, that is still the weed.
Was it a THC gummy or CBD?
Okay.
Who knows? You may not have tried it, but in college you were big with roofies, right?
Oh, I tried it on a girl.
wait. That was the implication.
Dude, that is like I figured that was almost a given. I figured that was.
Yeah, like, why are we going over it? It's already been covered. This is ask and answer, right?
This is the groundwork for Spike is the idea that he's roofing.
Yeah, really.
Hold on, let me.
This
is going to be good. This is going to be good.
You know,
good.
And one of my favorite reactions was when you were so gracious and giving me that bottle of stag for Christmas.
Oh, come on.
When we drank it and you immediately exclaimed, give me that bottle back. And I was like, I loved that moment. So I had to bring it back tonight. I have it here.
I'm not going to dig it.
Oh, wait, you gave him this bottle and then you asked for it back?
No, he didn't ask for it back. I brought it back so we could drink some tonight because Mo knows how special this bottle. This was the very first bottle of bourbon I ever drank with my dad.
I remember you telling us that story last time we were in here.
So we actually finished that bottle the night we all drank for the first time ever. And Mo, in super sentimental fashion, went and got me a bottle.
Oh, you're a damn sweet man.
It took me a minute, but I was able to come across a bottle because it's starting to become less difficult to find.
It's coming out more.
Yeah, but at the time, it was difficult to find, and when I got it, that was pre-Christmas.
That was in the Christmas season. And you predicted
my next bottle of Stag. You're like, hey, word on the street is, and then sure enough, my source
gave me intel, and I immediately, first person I called when I hung up with him was Patrick, and I said, call your source. This is on the street.
I had a bottle that afternoon. I sent him a picture, and it was MSRP.
Yeah.
It was $75 for that bottle of Stag.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So I got to get in the circle, guys.
We'll add you to the picture.
But you have a couple of connects.
I do, and I could utilize them. We can utilize connects together.
Yes, of course.
Use me.
We're stronger as a trinity.
Yes, we are.
Here we go. Cheers.
Here we go.
Oh, my gosh. That's everything I love about E.H. Taylor.
Dude, as good as that old Forester is.
I might have a new favorite.
Birthday.
I might have a new favorite bourbon.
Cinny.
That's a showstopper right there.
There's nothing to say.
That's a showstopper.
It envelops your entire palate. The first sip.
It takes my existence.
I felt it right at the top of my butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so question. You can't walk up to a bar and say, give me some Grammy Pappy.
No, you can
do it. Right?
I heard Pappy in the word.
You go to a bar and you order Pappy. You're paying $100 for an ounce
to get
or 2 ounce pour. Patrick, am I lying?
No.
Yeah, $100 a pour.
And y'all fooling around this right now?
Yeah.
I was at a bar in New York City where the shot of the, they had some really rare scotches there, and a shot of it was $4,000.
Oh my
God. What?
Yeah.
Our boy Blair at Florida Cracker and Fish Company, the one on Gunn and Ehrlich, he has a bottle of Woodford Reserve Baccarat. The bottle itself is pure crystal. It's a $2,000 bottle without the bourbon in it.
Just the bottle is $2,000?
Was that your post? Were you there?
Yeah.
How was it?
I think I had bullet bourbon in it in my glass, and I just went, dude, it's $200 a shot. I don't make that kind of money. Ehrlich and Gunn. It's a great local place.
When's your birthday?
June 26th.
Mine's tomorrow.
All right. We should go there for your birthday and bring Sinning not Spike.
I've been wanting to get into that place already.
You need to. You would love it. I don't know that I can justify, even if someone's buying it for me, a $100 and or $200 shot.
Well, if I buy it for you and you don't want to drink it, it's fine.
I'll drink it for you if you really don't want to. That's wasted air right there.
I didn't say that.
Let me get back to this EH barrel proof.
Go ahead. Let me know
this is effing phenomenal.
At 131, you talk about sneaky. This one will sneak up on you.
Spike, this is MSRP. It's about 75 to 90. No, actually $65 to $80 a bottle.
I paid $84 for
this. Okay.
So, hold on. On
the secondary market.
Yep.
It's a $450 to $500 to $600 bottle.
Again, you drinking that at a bar, you don't walk around and let everybody know that this is Rip Van Pappy?
Oh, we're doing a...
You just drink the job and don't let nobody know. I just spent $200 on it.
We're on E.H. Taylor right now.
Well, that's the thing about bourbon drinkers. They're not real pretentious.
Right.
But if you're drinking that thing right there for $200 a shot and Mo is sitting right next to you, you don't want him to know that?
No, I don't care. I'm enjoying my bourbon.
No. So the first thing is, a stranger in a bar, you don't want to let them know that you can afford a $200 shot.
I'd rather share. I was in an airport lounge. We were getting ready to go on vacation, Christy and I. We were in the airport lounge hanging out, and there was another couple sitting across from him. He's a vet, and I have a soft spot in my heart for vets, as you know, because of my dad and grandfather. Yes. And it was also his birthday. So I asked him what he was drinking, and I said, how would you feel about an upgrade? So I started buying him a couple of upgraded bourbon. So bourbon guys tend to be very generous.
Oh, okay.
And it's more inclusive, and not exclusive.
Right. So bourbon guys like to share, talk about bourbon. They love that.
Exactly. As opposed to me, I'm drinking Yeah. Rip Van Winkle.
Talk about
it. You got it right for the first time. I'm so proud of you.
Not rub it. Like, you're saying it from a perspective of, like, I got to pull my big old hog out and let everybody know and float on the table.
Yeah,
it's more about it's more about sharing in the joy rather than, you know, putting your nuts on someone's head.
Yeah, that's like why.
If you have to talk about it, you know. That's what they're saying.
Then you're not about it.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
Why so white can just turn the label like that.
Speaking of talk about it, this EH barrel proof, it's like taking a bite of filet mignon. It drinks like a fine steak.
$3,200 a pound Wagyu.
Yeah, absolutely. This is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it stays.
It does.
You can be a minute after a sip and it's in there. It lingers.
Do you guys have this much passion about a woman?
Do what?
You guys have this much passion about a woman?
Oh, so much more. Yeah, not even close, bro. Yeah, okay, this is bourbon.
Good answer.
Yeah. No.
I'll just tell you something. Bourbon drinkers aren't bad lovers.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. Yeah.
But you guys are describing this.
You fill it up on Miller Lite. You a two pump
chump. I was going to say the same thing. You look at his sloppy ass coming home after a 24 pack of white cans and get his sweaty ass on top of his lady.
Exactly. How